Set Piece, who was last early on. Set Piece rolling by everybody. Set Piece on the outside hits the front. Santin back to second along with Adamo. It's Set Piece and Florent Giroux. They catapulted past rivals. Set Piece going to win Virginia's Maiden Million.
Oh, well, I say blue moon up in Kentucky just to keep on shining.
By The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Nobody has ever confused me with Elvis. Not even really a big Elvis fan, but he inspired so many artists that I do like. Certainly a pioneer in rock and roll. Singing about the blue moon of Kentucky. Why? Opening weekend at Keeneland. The gates opened yesterday in Lexington at Keeneland, and racing is already fantastic out there, and they have a huge day of racing today. And of course, our interest, certainly from our local racing in-state here in Virginia, is Set Piece. The horse that set the track record in the Arlington Million comes back to the racetrack today in the Coolmore Turf Mile at Keeneland, the 10th race on the card. Not the favorite in the race. Is probably the third choice behind Up to the Mark and Master of the Seas coming in, making his first U.S. start. So good luck to those connections there. Brad Cox, Florent Giroux coming back to ride Set Piece. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. And yeah, we're off to the races this weekend all over the place. Today, tomorrow, yesterday. I think there are 9 win and you're in races today, followed by 3 more tomorrow. So that'll go a long way to establishing all the Breeders' Cup fields. 27 days till the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita this year, November 3rd and 4th. And we'll try and set you up. We'll start setting you up a little bit with the a little bit of a Breeders' Cup preview, what we might know right now about the Breeders' Cup Classic, getting to the turf a little bit, it's so much racing on that Breeders' Cup weekend that you have to do a lot of your preparation well in ahead. You just can't open the program on that Friday and start handicapping. It's too much. So we'll try and get you into the school, so to speak, on the Breeders' Cup Classic and the turf, at least a little bit later in the show. Also on today's show, Dr. Scott Wugan will join us from Shenandoah Downs as their meet continues. Just an excellent meet. And of course, Scott Wugan, longtime driver, big fan of harness racing. We'll talk to him in about 45 minutes or so. Daryl Wood just around the corner, and then Frank Vespi will get us caught up on what is finally, it looks like, some movement in Maryland. We'll talk about a couple of other items as well with Frank Vespi, living the dream here on Off to the Races. Let's go back to last week, though. Not a whole lot of three-year-old turf races left, and the three-year-old turf pitcher, which at Colonial Downs is big with the Virginia Derby, the Secretariat Stakes. They're two real signature races now, adding the Arlington Million and the Beverly D to their slate. One of the three-year-old turf races that was held last week at Churchill Downs was the Jefferson Cup, a race we took a look at, featured more than looks with Christian Torres, was the favorite in this race, Worthington was a horse coming into the race. Just sort of seemed to be a horse that might run better than his odds, morning line odds. Noise Is Off, also getting some attention in this group. They went a mile on the turf at Churchill Downs before moving to Keeneland later on this week. Let's hear Travis Stone bring him home in the Jefferson Cup.
More Than Looks is still 10, maybe now 12 behind as they come for the top of the stretch where Gaslight Dancer rolls off the turn in front by four. Smoky Mandate set down for the drive now and quickly closing in is Smoky Mandate. Gaslight Dancer trying to ward off Smoky Mandate, who's rallied to the front. In the meantime, More Than Looks, like a rocket down the center of the course, is coming after Smoky Mandate, and More Than Looks looked hopeless with three furlongs to go and is on the wire, winning by three. More Than Looks, what a sensational late kick that was.
Yeah, More Than Looks just keeps on rolling. A horse that we've talked about several times, racing in the three-year-old turf division. And we have a big race up today with Webslinger coming back to the racetrack. But More Than Looks is one of these horses that is a high achiever. And there's so many nice three-year-old turf horses that are working out so well right now. They're all accomplished. They all have achievement in their resume. And it's almost like a shame you didn't have like a year-end three-year-old turf stakes race. I'm not suggesting that we add another one to the Breeders' Cup, but you know, this class has really been entertaining to watch since we began this show way back in February. More Than Looks, congratulations to those connections. Cherie DeVoe and Victory Racing Partners, the winning connection there, was the favorite, paid $5.26 for the win. Remember, Kentucky has that sort of new odd breakage that goes down basically to the 2 cents instead of the dimes. So More Than Looks paying $5.26 for that win. Also, last weekend on off of at Belmont, they ran the Vosburgh Stakes, and this featured probably the most sentimental horse, crowd favorite, has no enemies type of horse, and that's the great story of Cody's Wish, and big favorite in the Vosburgh Stakes. John Embriel has the call of last week's Vosburgh on Sunday.
They come off the turn and into the stretch, and here is Cody's Wish up to challenge. Accretive for the lead. Great Navigator is down at the rail. It's three of them across. It's Cody's Wish and a very tough Accretive who continues to battle on as they hit the 16th pole. Cody's Wish now edges clear, and Cody's Wish back to sprinting, back to winning today in the Vosburgh.
Yeah, congratulations, Cody's Wish, a big sentimental favorite there with Junior Alvarado aboard for trainer Bill Mott, and of course the horse with who was named after a child with a rare genetic disorder who's unable to walk and communicate. A guy by the name of Dorman just keeps on winning, and every time this horse wins, it's another tear-jerking story, and just one of the better stories in racing. So congratulations to those connections. Cody's Wish with a big win there, $2.30 for the win, not only the wagering favorite but the popular favorite in that field as well. So kind of it was an odd racing weekend all over the country. They actually canceled racing at Belmont on Saturday. They'll get racing in today, although there's rain in the forecast up at Belmont. But they actually had a double disqualification on Sunday in the Gallant Bloom. Odd situation. A horse on the rail came in, a horse on the outside. Actually, a horse on the rail came out, a horse on the outside came in. And the third place finisher, Carmel Swirl, impacted by both of those horses. So even though they finished in front, you had to go down to the third place finisher to find your winner with Carmel Swirl there. So just sort of an interesting situation in the Gallant Bloom there. Sterling Silver and Headband, actually Headland, getting moved down from first and second and placed, I'm not exactly sure where they placed them. It doesn't really show here on the chart, but officially, where did they end up? Sterling, yeah, didn't see exactly how they ended up placing, where they ended up placing them. I'll try and read it here in the notes maybe a little later, but yeah, Carmel Swirl getting the win there. In the ACAC at Churchill Downs, Zoso's picked up that automatic bid to the Breeders' Cup, of probably the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile there. And Clapton is a horse that's also being considered for the Breeders' Cup Classic, picked up a win in the Lucas Classic. And we'll talk to Frank Vespy a little later in the show about some of the racing at Laurel, because they had some Breeders' Cup implications as well. But for right now, let's head up to the Upper Shenandoah Valley, and with Tunes, bring in our first guest of the morning on Off to the Races, and that is Daryl Wood, who joins us now with a little bit of a hop, a little bit of bounce in his step this morning, trying to work through a little bit of the rain. And he now joins us on Off to the Races. Daryl, good morning.
Hi, Ed.
How's everything up in the Woodstock this morning, in Daryl Woodstock?
Yeah, we got a little bit of rain earlier, but it's cleared, Nick. The sun is out, and this is actually our biggest day of the year. We get to be part of an Autumn Fest festival, which is one of the top 10 fall events on the East Coast, and it's right here on the ground, so we get 3,000 people at our doorstep, and they get to be exposed and wager 14 harness races. So this is a real unique opportunity for us. Sunshine, 65 degrees, just a perfect day coming up.
Dr. Wugan will be on the show a little bit later. I saw he had 7 assignments on the card today alone. So, yeah, it's a busy day, 14 races. That's a long card, and they're all full fields going through the program. Thanks for sending that to me earlier today. It looks like a good slate of racing.
Yeah, we're actually overloaded with horses, which is a good problem to have. I think people – you know, Pompano Park used to be in Florida. They've closed, and we're doing well as far as the horse stock goes. But 14 races today, 15 tomorrow, and it's interesting. Scott Wugan is in a brand new feature we're doing this year. It's an amateur driver series where people, amateur harness drivers travel and compete here for points. And Scott Wugan is the leader right now, so he's going to have 4 drives, I believe, in the amateur series this afternoon. And it really gives him and some of the other great people, including Stacy McClanigan, who's a Providence Forge native right by Colonial Downs, a chance to really shine in these races. So kind of a neat added feature. And another neat aspect is that the money the drivers normally would get from these races goes to charity. So over the course of the meet, they're going to have $5,000 being donated to local charities here, which is just great for the community.
How is just the atmosphere up there? I mean, cool temperatures. It's supposed to be in the 70s in Charlottesville today, maybe even a little cooler up there. It just sounds like now that the rain's cleared out here in Charlottesville, where I'm broadcasting from this morning, I guess there might be a little bit of rain headed toward Richmond, but just a great atmosphere for maybe our listeners in Harrisonburg. JMU is off this weekend, so maybe a little bit more purple in the crowd this weekend.
Yeah, we're hoping that. We used to get a whole bunch of fraternities up here from JMU to enjoy the races and bet, and especially when we raced on Fridays. It was a great way for them to kick off their weekends. But, I know we've got a fraternity of 80 coming here next Saturday, and hopefully we get some today as well. But it's been warm all week, and we finally got the fall-like temperatures here today and tomorrow. But we got cards both days at 1 o'clock, and it's just interesting to see where the people are coming from. We've got a couple brothers in the hotel that I'm staying in that drove down from Jersey here for the weekend to spend to bet the races, and we had folks from Hampton here last weekend. So people are, it's a neat day trip. It's kind of a throwback experience, and it's old school racing. It's not there's no bells and whistles by any stretch, but it's kind of charming right between the mountain ranges here, and it's I urge your listeners to try it one time this fall.
What is left in the meet? Is it three weekends? I'm trying to count them here in my head. The 14th, the 21st, the 28th. Are those so? Three more weekends.
You did well. You did well. Oh, okay, off good. The top, yeah.
Yeah. What do we have looking ahead?
We've got this weekend and three more to go. The meet highlight is really October 29th, closing day that celebrates the Virginia Standardbred industry with our Day of Champions card. It features two and three-year-old pacers and trotters of both sexes. They compete for close to $700,000 that day. So that is today's the biggest crowd we're going to have in the most vibrant and exciting environment. But the biggest purse card of the year is going to be closing day, October 29th. And always, this is the 26th annual Day of Champions. So it's something the Standardbred folks can be quite proud of. They started at the very beginning of Colonial Downs. Even when Colonial Downs shut down, they continued racing at Oak Ridge Estate in Nelson County, which I know you're familiar with, and here in Woodstock since. So 26 straight years of Breeders' Championship races.
Yeah, just a good time in racing right now, racing all over the state. Had Foxfield last weekend, Arrowheart winning the feature there for Freddie Proctor and Leslie Young, who had a big day on that card, winning two races in that six-race card. You got Montpelier in front of us as well. Just a lot happening in Virginia racing right now. It's a busy time of year.
Yeah, it should be a good final month. Gold Cup also coming up on the 28th. So busy 4 weeks here, and then we get a little break until next spring.
Yeah, that's what I love about horse. Like, the Breeders' Cup is the first weekend in November, and then on that Monday after the Breeders' Cup, college basketball season starts. Perfect.
Yeah.
No lapse whatsoever. Daryl, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend up there at Shenandoah, and I'm still shooting to get up there and catch some of that mountain racing air.
Yeah, we got a spot for you when you can make it, Nick.
Okay. I hope to do that real soon here. Almost happened. If things would have gone, it was really close to happening this past weekend, but I'm really looking forward to come back up there, bring a couple
we'll see
of my friends
soon,
from Waynesburg. Great. Daryl Wood joining us on Off to the Races this morning, his weekly visit from Shenandoah Downs up in Woodstock. So mentioned a little bit about the Breeders' Cup that is coming before us quickly, 27 days out, and I'll kind of went through, I started going through especially the classic field, because when you look at like the Breeders' Cup Classic, you have horses coming in from overseas, you have older horses, it just becomes like a proverbial soup when you're talking about the Breeders' Cup Classic. It really is like horse racing's championship day. And if you look at the Breeders' Cup Classic over the years, I mean, just there is such, it's a mile and a quarter. It's the Kentucky Derby distance, something that we're all familiar with. But just pulling up the winners here quickly, last year, Flightline, sensational horse. Nick's Go, Vino Rosso, Accelerate, Gunrunner. Of course, American Pharoah, I was out there for that one out at Keeneland in 2015, where something I think that is tremendously underrated in horse racing. American Pharoah wins the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, that is just a Herculean feat for Victor Espinosa and Bob Baffert. But even going back a little bit further, you know, when you talk about horses like Ghost Zapper and Curlin, and Tisnow, who actually won it twice, Skip Away, Cigar. I mean, it is a championship race that is really unmatched. And going through the field here this for the show here this morning, trying to go through and sort out maybe who the favorite is. That's the other thing. You talk to a number of different experts, they'll give you five different favorites. You talk to five different experts, you'll get five different favorites as to who might win the Breeders' Cup Classic right now, which seems to actually be dominated by U.S. three-year-olds. Big class. It held together well through the Triple Crown. One of the favorites that I saw, and I think I never saw this horse going through doing all my research lower than second in anybody's assessment currently, and that's Arcangelo. It's this horse that won the Travers. Let's go back and listen to this Travers call.
Scotland, Arcangelo, in between them, it's Tappet Trice. Forte still five lengths back in Disarm, trying to come through a narrow opening as Arcangelo has opened up a three-length lead, and it's the Belmont winner in charge. Disarm gets loose late and is coming with a menacing bid. It's Arcangelo and Disarm, 1-2. Arcangelo, another Travers for Javier Castellano.
Yeah, Castellano will probably stay on Arcangelo for the Breeders' Cup, and probably the best three-year-old. I mean, certainly at the moment, winning the Belmont Stakes, winning the Travers Stakes, will now have to win out in California. But when you look at horses like Go Rocket Ride, Forte, Disarmed, Angel of Empire, Saudi Crown, Mage, the Derby winner, I mean, this is a pretty good group. It shows this sophomore class had a lot of talent and stayed healthy and just continued to win. And Arcangelo hopes, waiting no races since the Travers, so Arcangelo is going to keep going here with the Breeders' Cup Classic. If you're looking for an older horse, you might want to look. There's a horse by the name of Proxy, trained by Michael Stidham. You have White Aberio, who actually saw on top of somebody's Breeders' Cup Classic list. This horse, who ran in the Woodward last week, might be the best U.S. older horse.
Zandon is alongside and will need some racing room as they hit the top of the stretch. Three quarters in 10-2. It is Film Star who has come away with the lead. Law Professor, Zandon on the outside with Tyson. Charge it, looking for a way through. Zandon is now kicking in. Here comes Zandon on the outside. And Zandon has taken the lead in deep stretch. And Zandon is going to get his grade two victory here in the Woodward as he pulls away at the end. Zandon by 4.5 lengths.
Yeah, $400,000 stakes race, winning last Sunday at Belmont at the Big A. They're trying to build a new racetrack, rebuild Belmont Park, so that's why they're racing at Aqueduct. But the and you have the Belmont at the Big A meet. But at the Aqueduct racetrack, the Belmont meet, Zandon won the Woodward Stakes last week, Flaving Pratt there for Chad Brown. And, yeah, this is perhaps this horse and White Aberio might be the older horses. And usually the Breeders' Cup is dominated. It's rare that you really see, you see three-year-olds probably once every 5 years or so when the Breeders' Cup Classic, but not the case this year, dominated by the three-year-olds. And for the veterans, Zandon might be the biggest threat there. If you're looking overseas for a horse, you might want to take a look at Yusha Tesoro. This is a horse that won in Dubai, and let's get a little bit of a flavor for what this horse can do.
Now we're racing, heading for home. There goes Yusha Tesoro into the lead on the outside. Mitanuo doesn't have it here tonight. Yusha Tesoro has it, though, warming up for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Well, I say he's all warmed up and ready to go. Off to America, number four, Yusha Tesoro, in for the victory.
Yeah, big win there for Yusha Tesoro. So, World Cup winner, comes back and wins last weekend. So also, you know, that may be the biggest foreign threat, a six-year-old horse of all things. This is a horse that won in Japan, winning the Nippon TV race there, but best known for winning the Dubai World Cup, and his first start back, comes back and wins. So one you're going to hear about that might be a contender. Going to take let's switch over to the grass here for the mile and a half turf race as we take a preview at the Breeders' Cup as it comes up. And probably a horse there, Jean-Claude Kruger, is that a name anybody remembers? Winning the Triple Crown back in the 70s? Well, he's a trainer now. He's actually won this race twice now, and that's the Arc de Triomphe. Let's hear the call and see what his horse Ace Impact did last weekend in Paris.
As they leave the 600 meter peg behind them, the leader is Cambron, still by two. Second, Burr Castle. Third is Victoria Road, followed by Greenland, El River, Ponty. Now Ace Impact, he's peeled to the outside and straight is last of all. Coming down inside the final 400, Cambron in front, Burr Castle gives chase on the outside. Ace Impact, Greenland, El River, then came Victoria Road, Ponty and straight. Ace Impact is slowly but surely wearing them down on the outside. He gobbles them up. Ace Impact, Burr Castle, El River is late in between. It is Ace Impact. Impact, a soft victory.
Yeah, and so you have Ace Impact here. Little undecided on whether they're going to ship this horse over for the Breeders' Cup turf, but certainly a player in this race. If they do ship this horse over, he's going to have to learn to go, instead of turning left, he's going to have to, or turning right, he's going to have to turn left. But and he's going to have to convert meters into yards and miles and as they come off the metric system there. But yeah, Ace Impact, you know, a horse to be reckoned with. The Breeders' Cup turf, no secret here, just dominated by the Europeans. Won their last three. The last U.S. horse to win it, Bricks and Mortar, back in 2019. But before that, Main Sequence back in 2014. Little Mike won this race in 2012. But other than that, I mean, it is just dominated, especially by the Irish breds, the English breds as well. Rebel's Romance winning this race last year. This year, Aidan O'Brien is loaded. Trainer has Bok Choy Ballet, August Roan, Luxembourg. These are just his horses, major contenders in the Breeders' Cup turf. The biggest American interest might be a horse that is trained by Mark Cassie, and we'll introduce him as he won the Kentucky Turf Cup out at Kentucky Downs earlier this fall.
They're into the stretch in the Kentucky Turf Cup, and Get Smokin' comes off the turn in front. Still the leader by two. Santine is second. Down the outside, First Stoppin' is third. It is still Get Smokin'. He's got to get 3/16 of a mile. He's still there. And then comes Santine and First Stoppin' to the outside. Spooky Channel is next. Down to the 16th pole. He's still there. It's still Get Smokin'. Santine, First Stoppin'. On the inside, Spooky Channel. Get Smokin' every step of the way. Wins the Kentucky Turf Cup.
Yeah, and Larry Colmiss, of course, the notable voice of the Triple Crown, delivering the call there. And Get Smokin', probably America's best chance to win the mile-and-a-half Breeders' Cup turf. So we'll keep you appraised on all those horses as they move forward. As we are inside of a month getting into the last few weeks before we hit the Breeders' Cup. So held out at Santa Anita this year. So we'll have updates as the fields become set. We're going to go to break here on Off to the Races, our first and only break of the day. And when we come back, we'll bring in Frank Vespi, Living the Dream. There's actually Live in the Dream is running today out of Keeneland. That's the name of the horse. We'll bring in Frank Vespi in a little bit. We'll also have Dr. Scott Wugan in about 20 minutes or so. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Harness Racing returns to Shenandoah Downs in Woodstock this fall for a big 7-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each racing afternoon. Opening day is Saturday the 16th and features a free t-shirt giveaway celebrating 137 years of harness racing in Woodstock. Enjoy live music with the Seven Bends Band all afternoon. On Sunday the 17th, it's happy hour pricing with $1 hot dogs and $2 canned beer. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family friendly.
Virginia's horse racing and horse breeding industry is built on the talent, skills, labors, and passions of incredible people working in all parts of the Commonwealth. Horses fuel the economy, power tourism, reinforce agriculture, and create jobs. From farmers to blacksmiths, trainers to vets, and racehorse staff to surrounding businesses, the local horse racing and breeding industry alone supports 5,300 jobs and has an overall impact of $542 million annually. Over 5,400 horses are owned by Virginians, and another 2,400 out-of-state horses are boarded at Virginia farms. Last year, over $4 billion was wagered on horse racing in Virginia. Learn more about this thriving agribusiness at virginiahorseracing.com. And be sure to enjoy the Colonial Downs Summer Thoroughbred Racing Season in New Kent, which runs from July 13th through September 9th, every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 1:30.
Live racing at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races rolls on every Wednesday through Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern through March 1st and every Thursday through Saturday through the month of October. Mark your calendars for Friday, August 25th for the 15th renewals of the Grade 2 $1 million Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 $750,000 Charlestown Oaks, now the richest three-year-old filly sprint stakes race in North America. So come see us here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Learn more at Hollywood Casino Charlestown.
At 3-1 in the morning line, where the temperatures are supposed to be really, really cool in Lexington, Live in the Dream is probably Frank's pick for that race in the Woodford today, which will be held at about 3:40 Eastern Standard Time. And Living the Dream, here is Frank Vespi. And Frank, what do you think about this horse making his first start in the U.S.? How about that?
Hello, Mr. Hahn. It's a good name. I mean, I don't see how he loses with a name like that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a 12-horse field here, so hopefully try and get the changes up at some point. But, yeah, we'll see what this horse can do. It may be a horse that's also trying to get into the Breeders' Cup here, this one on the turf in the turf sprint here. Figures it'd be in the Woodford, right? I mean, that's an aptly named race for a horse that is basically named after one of your favorite songs.
What are you saying about me? That's what I want to know.
The racingbiz.com with a story again, trying to keep everybody on the same page, web page, with the situation in Maryland. And doing a great job trying to provide, you know, if there's movement in Maryland, you got to sort of have at least some direction. And they're trying to get going in some sort of direction. What a nonprofit meet in Maryland could it be?
Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, basically what's going on is this Maryland Thoroughbred Racetrack Operating Authority that the state created in the last legislative session is sort of in the information gathering phase, and where all that leads is to a report that it's going to submit to the General Assembly by December 1st, which is to sort of outline different operating models for the future and recommend one that they think works best for Maryland, as well as looking into the facilities questions. And right now, we kind of, everybody's cards are sort of on the table. The Stronach Group went before that body last week and said, we need to run fewer days. We need a share of the slots money. We need a new Pimlico. And the horsemen and breeders presented to the authority yesterday and essentially said, we need a future without the Stronach Group. And recommended that the authority look at a nonprofit model, similar maybe to what Del Mar has. At Del Mar, the state owns that land, the fairgrounds, the county fairgrounds there are owned by the state, and the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club leases the property when they run their live race meets, and then the rest of the year it belongs to the state to do what it wants. So that's kind of the direction that they're pushing in, and obviously Stronach Group's pushing in a different direction, and now it's going to be up to the authority to start figuring out what the future ought to look like.
I always thought like Ursae was the least popular name in Baltimore, but it might be Stronach here as time moves forward.
They're kind of 1 and 1A, I think, head bobbing on the wire here.
Oh boy, yeah, they're probably thankful for the Stronach Group in terms of just helping to muddy their reputation with the Colts. but let's move on to maybe some more promising and more immediate interest in Maryland racing, and those were some of the 2-year-old races that you had last week with Brock Nardini, an Air Recruit, winning the 2-year-old features at Laurel last week in the Salima and Laurel Futurity, respectively. What could be next for these horses?
Well, it's interesting you say that. You've been talking Breeders' Cup in the prior segment, and both of the trainers there, George Weaver for Brock Nardini, who won the Salima for 2-year-old fillies, and Arno Delacour, who trains Air Recruit, who won the Laurel Futurity for the boys. They're both talking about potentially going to the Breeders' Cup if their horses get in. And that'll be the question, is do they get in? But, you know, it at first blush, you say, gee, that seems like a heavy lift. But then you think about it a little bit, and you saw this in Virginia a couple of years ago with four-wheel drive winning a race there, then winning the juvenile turf sprint. And we saw it in Maryland with Sharing winning the Salima and then going out and winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. So it's not an implausible thing to take that step from these sorts of races to the Breeders' Cup for these 2-year-olds who are improving and changing rapidly. So it'll be fun to see if they do get in, and to follow them on out to the Breeders' Cup if that's the route they end up taking.
You told me not to ask you this question when we talked before coming on the air, but you gave such a good answer, one that I think is easy for our listeners who aren't familiar with the Breeders' Cup. How are Breeders' Cup horses determined? I know I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but
yeah, you are putting me on the spot here a little
not
bit.
Not the fine print version, just sort of the generic.
So in brief, there are three ways. One is there are a series of win and you're in races. So if you win one of those, you're in. The second way is you can accrue points by winning or placing in graded stakes races. So the next group of horses are the horses with the most points accrued in graded stakes races. And then the third group are horses that may be chosen by a committee. If you saw the movie Dreamer, you saw that third element at work, where a committee chose to let in I believe it was a mare in that instance, chose to let her race in, I think it was the Classic, and she won. So that's how there are three ways, and so one of those three. So in the case of, for example, the horses that won the Laurel Futurity and the Salima, they would need to be chosen by a committee as sufficiently accomplished to be in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf races.
And it's you would think, like the Derby, you know, you have 20 horses in the Derby starting gate, and you have 60 that want to be there. Doesn't happen quite that often with the Breeders' Cup. You don't see a lot of oversubscribed races.
No, I think that's right, and I think the Derby, it's just such a, it's a unicorn in our game. You know, everybody who has a horse that, you know, basically has four legs and is 3 years old on the first Saturday in May wants to be in the Kentucky Derby, and the Breeders' Cup races aren't quite that. Although I do think the Classic is pretty much of an all-comers race. I mean, I think pretty much everybody who, I think the difference is everybody who can make a plausible case for themselves goes to the Breeders' Cup Classic. In the Kentucky Derby, I think a lot of those people really can't make a plausible case, but they want to be there anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Other news from the Racing Biz pages, a jockey that performs at a high level every year. It'd be great to see Forrest Boyce win a jockey title at Colonial Downs 1 year, but I don't know that she rides enough mounts in order to do that. But pretty good week for her.
Yeah, she's on a little bit of a heater. She had won with, I think, 9 of 20 mounts coming into this weekend. And actually, she talked about that in the article on the racingbiz.com that you know, she really didn't get a lot of mounts through the winter and spring. And she and her agent, Shug Burtis, basically said, let's use Colonial to kind of get going again. And they went down to Colonial and she did pretty well, won some races, and has kept that going as she's come back to Laurel. So good to see. I don't know why she doesn't get more mounts. She's a good rider, you know, and people tend to think of her as a turf rider, but she's a good rider and she, there aren't many in the Maryland colony that I think I'd rather have if I needed to win a race. So I'm a little mystified why she doesn't get good mounts, but when she gets good mounts, she wins races.
Yeah, I don't think she'll sit very idle if there's a Virginia Oaks mount open for very long.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking ahead, Maryland and in West Virginia, you got the Maryland Million, the Charlestown Classics that played during the break here on Off to the Races. What do we have to look forward from those 2 days?
Well, yeah, West Virginia Breeders Classics, Maryland Million, they're both coming up October 14th. Maryland Million, I think it's an 11:30 first post. The Classic's going to be 7 o'clock first post. And I love those days. They're, you know, Maryland Million is state sired horses, West Virginia Breeders Classic state bred, but they're both kind of the feature that the local horsemen point to all year, and local owners. And so it's kind of the party that, you know, like the Preakness is the party where you invite everybody you know and from all over the place and all the relatives you haven't seen in 100 years, and Maryland Million and West Virginia Breeders Classic's kind of the party you throw for your friends and close family and the people you really want to be with. And so those are really neat days to me. And one of the really fun things, I think, and we'll see this, I think, in both days, is a lot of horses come back, you know, a lot of champions come back to try to defend their titles. And, you know, it's not like, you know, you mentioned Flightline earlier today. Flightline made 6 career starts and then he's gone. These horses aren't that. They're going to be coming back year after year as long as they can still do it at a decent level. And so it's fun to see. I mean, I think one race I definitely will point people to paying attention to is going to be the Turf Sprint, the Maryland Million Turf Sprint, because that's going to be a showdown between Witty and Sky's Not Falling. They were heads apart a couple of weeks ago in the Ben's Cat at Pimlico. Probably look for the same thing again. Should be a terrific horse race.
Yeah, yeah. Just if you like crowds, if you like a high level of racing, these two events, they're not too far away here in Virginia for our listeners here, and especially in Harrisonburg and Richmond, not too too far away to get to Charlestown, especially if you're in the Valley. So, yeah, just great opportunities to really have some fun enjoying some racing. Hopefully the weather looks like the weather might be good, just looking a little bit ahead. Frank, great job here, and we'll talk to you next week. Off to the races, and good luck. Number two, Live in the Dream, the in the sixth race at Keeneland today.
French Hunch horse. Play of the day, man. Live in the dream. All right, Nick. Thanks a lot.
First U.S. start here. Yeah, that's one of the – there are nine winning your in races today, three tomorrow. A lot of them are juvie races, as you might suspect. They try and pick up hot horses. That's why sort of backloaded in the Breeders' Cup to have – horses like this. In that Woodford field, you have 12 going to the gate here with horses like Our Shot is in that race. Beer Can Man, need to bring hopefully we'll get Derby Bill to pick some horses for the Breeders' Cup later in the fall here as it comes up, and I'm sure Beer Can Man, if this horse wins, will definitely be on his radar. But yeah, that's the Woodford run today. The Jockey Club Derby is today up at Belmont Park. We're talking about the three-year-old turf division. Here's Web Slinger, who just continues to be consistent, and 7-2 in the morning. Not even the favorite, though. It's another Invader, Measured Time. That's the favorite for Charles Appleby in the Jockey Club Derby today. A number of Virginia Derby horses running in this race. Data Man coming back for Grand Motion, hoping to do a little bit better. Mondego, who finished fourth with Trevor McCarthy aboard in the Virginia Derby, also getting a start today in that race at Aqueduct. So try and give out a couple of picks here, perhaps. Actually, Web Slinger just is such a consistent horse. I just like the way that horse performs. Going to make him my pick when we take a look at that race later today. And other racing today includes racing at Shenandoah Downs. And that's where we have our next guest on Off to the Races. Dr. Scott Wugan joins us from Shenandoah Downs, and heard the report from Daryl Wood earlier. Dr. Wugan, good morning.
Thanks. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Big day in front of you today. Seven assignments. A lot of KJs on your schedule is part of the card. Got mounts everywhere from the opener in the first all the way to the 13th race today, and you're doing pretty well in this meet. Currently have you with five wins in the meet as of October 5th, so going into the week also in that puts you in fifth place. That's not bad in terms of number of wins. What do these big days, how do they come to you?
Well, it's very, very busy for me. And as an amateur driver and one that doesn't race much, to drive six or seven horses in a day is a lot. And not only are we out there 10 minutes warming up before a race, but we have to warm the horses up an hour before the race. So physically, it's a lot of work for me, somebody that doesn't do this for a living.
Yeah, Daryl talking about the amateur driving standings earlier in the show. We understand one of your winners from last week, it wasn't Bob Baffert getting knocked over after winning the Derby and tumbling in the grass, but a little bit of a jolt for you after one of the wins last week. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It just bruised my ego, but really, I drove a horse for the first time. We knew nothing about the horse, and the trainer failed to mention that he wouldn't stand still in the winner's circle. What we didn't know, he was going to jump straight up in the air and knock me out of the cart. But it happens, and the good news is when a horse rears up like that, you're only a foot off the ground when you bail out. So there's no injuries. as long as the horse doesn't come down on you, and he didn't, so it was not a problem.
Well, that's it's good to hear that you're all safe after that little incident there. I guess you'd prefer that he just probably take the Gatorade bucket and dump it over your head next time, huh?
That's for sure. Well, he's racing today. I'm driving them again. And the one thing I will not do is be in the cart when he goes back to the winner's circle if he's fortunate enough to win. I'm bailing out early, so we'll see what happens.
Which one was it?
I think his name is Money or Roses.
Yeah, Money or Roses in the third race today. You also you raced one of the best names and probably my favorite horse from Shenandoah. I remember calling this horse's name several times now. Freak on a Leash. Tell us a little bit about that horse.
Oh, he's a nice horse. A gentleman from Mississippi owns him and trains him, named Lawrence Cooper. And he bought him 2 or 3 years ago, and he had a lot of success with him for 2 years. The horse is not quite the same caliber, but he seems to be rounding into some form now. So he won 2 weeks ago, and he was third, only beaten half a length last week. And if the stretch was a little bit longer, he would have won that race as well. So he's rounding into form. He's a nice horse to drive.
Shenandoah Downs has been racing for decades, over a century, I think. And
yeah, it's 115 years of harness racing.
And it was really just sort of a hidden gem in the fair circuit of pretty much unlike any fair, I guess, you would have in Virginia. I'm not aware of any other fairs that hold harness racing in the Commonwealth.
Yeah. The interesting thing is before NASCAR and automobile racing, we had 30 fair tracks that had harness racing in the state of Virginia. If you go to Chesterfield, where the courthouse is, that was a mile track right where they built their administrative building. And we've had tracks all over the state. The unfortunate, but the nice thing about Woodstock, it's the one remaining track for the last 100 years of racing in Virginia. The one remaining fair track.
Yeah. I mean, and what a gem to find when Colonial Downs was closed and, you know, trying to reconfigure the industry of, you know, you had, I think it was it 20, did you race in 2014?
We raced every year. We never missed a year. We had shorter meets, and over the years we've been able to slowly increase the number of race days. And we raced both there and at Oak Ridge, and we managed to keep the sport going.
Yeah, and then to find this venue, which is just a throwback of in terms, which actually adds, I think, a lot of charm to the facility and in the meet, even nicer than Colonial in many ways. You know, I
think so. You're up close. It's a half mile track. The horses are right near you. When they come into the track through the entrance, you can come down to the fence and you can get really up close and personal. And you're up close and personal in the 100-year-old grandstand that we watch the races from. So it's a beautiful facility. 1 week a year, they have the Shenandoah County Fair there, and we have matinee harness racing. There's no betting during that week, but you can come out and watch the races. And we have now 7 weekends of harness racing in the spring and 7 weekends in the fall where you can come out, watch the races, and bet a few dollars.
How many races do you have tomorrow?
We have 15 races tomorrow and 14 races today. Meet's grown, or the interest in our meet has grown, and now we're at the point where we have too many horses entered for the number of races we're allowed by the race commission. So we're kind of bursting at the seams.
Oh, that's just good to hear. How many assignments do you have tomorrow? Do you know?
I think I have 4 or 5. I'm not even sure.
A little bit slower on Sunday. I notice here, notice here today, it's nothing new in harness racing, especially, you know, when you deal with a name like Hanover. But you have four KJs on your card. Tell us a little bit about KJ Angel, KJ Eric, KJ Phillip.
KJ is my wife's initials. So it's Kathy Jean. So the ones that I breed, I name after her or give her initials to. So all the KJ horses are horses that I breed.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's great. Yeah. No, I bet you that keeps the wife happy. I'm sure. It keeps her participating.
At least lets me go and race some horses. So without that, I don't know.
Well, great. Well, Dr. Wugan, thanks a lot for joining us on Off to the Races. Good luck. Hopefully we'll get that win total well above five after today and maybe a few more tomorrow. And congratulations on the continued success of the meet. It's a real gem up there in the upper Shenandoah Valley.
Yeah, really appreciate it. And hopefully people can come out and observe for themselves. So thanks again. And if you can't get out, all these races are now on the major internet betting sites, things like TVG and ExpressBet and Twin Spires all televise our races, so you can watch them live from home.
That is so important when you're going to a track to get familiar with it, know who the good trainers and riders are, the nuances of the track. So when you do go there and see it in person, you're sort of prepared. That is a valuable tool, no question about it. Good luck, Dr. Wugan, and we'll see you up there soon.
All right, thanks so much. Bye-bye now.
Great. Scott Wugan joining us on Off to the Races. And, just wanted to maybe get in just a couple of looks, if you will, at some of the races coming up here. The Turf Mile, Set Piece, of course, the horse that set the track record at Colonial Downs, is actually going up against English B in the Turf Mile, 30-1. Not as highly thought of for English B here for Grand Motion here, but I think this horse just happens to be a favorite. 7-year-old still racing here. Annapolis is in this group, and also Up to the Mark, who also could be a Breeders' Cup horse as well. So looking to Set Piece there to actually, I think I like his chances to come back and run big at Keeneland. Out in California today as well, they run a number of stakes races up there. The Rodeo Drive is up there. Didia, who won the Old Nelson at Colonial Downs last year, actually won two races, is 9-5 in the Rodeo Drive, which is a mile and a quarter. So they actually hit a little bit of the downhill turf course to start that race. So another horse you may want to look for. They also run the American Pharaoh out there, grade one. This is one of the winning your ends, the old Norfolks. Bob Baffert dominates this race on a regular basis. I'm going to go with Next Level here with Kent DeSormo, Keith DeSormo, the trainer. Thanks for spending some of your Saturday morning with us. Enjoy the racing action. Want to thank everybody that was on the show today. I'm going to have to probably clean up my desk because I just got racing information all over the place. But Daryl Wood, Scott Wugan, Frank Vespi, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll have a better look at the Breeders' Cup post time for Off to the Races next week, 10 o'clock.